भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नाष्टाप्राये सुभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतेरुत्तमश्लोकैर्भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः. Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 29, entitled Krishna and Gopis Meet, text number 20. Matara Pitara Putra Bhratara Patayaschava Chinmanti yapashyanto Makritmam bandhu sadvasam Mothers, Pitara, fathers, Putra, sons, Bratara, brothers, Pataya, husbands, Cha and Va your Vinchin Manti are searching. He certainly Apashyanta not seeing Makridvam do not create Bandhu for your family members. Sadvasam anxiety. Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, Hridayananda Swami Maharaj. Not finding you at home, your mothers, fathers, sons, brothers, and husbands are certainly searching for you. Don't cause anxiety for your family members. There's no purport in this verse, so we'll continue the next two verses, which are joined together. Now you have seen this Vrindavan forest, full of flowers and resplendent with the light of the full moon. You have seen the beauty of the trees, with their leaves trembling in the gentle breeze, coming from the Yamuna. So now, go back to the coward village. Don't delay, O chaste ladies. Serve your husbands and give milk to your crying babies and calves. Krishna's expert here. Purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur further explains text 22 as follows. Lord Krishna says, therefore don't wait a long time before going, but go immediately. The word sati means that the gopis are loyal to their husbands. Therefore, Krishna indicates that the gopis should serve their husbands so the latter can accomplish their religious duties, and that the gopis should also be considered worshipable because of their chastity. All this Krishna says to the gopis who are married. And now to the unmarried girls he says, the calves are crying, so see to it that they get milk. To the Munichari gopis he says, your babies are crying, so feed them milk. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur further reveals the hidden meaning of these two verses as follows. In text 21, Krishna might have said, this Vrindavan is the very best of places, and moreover, this is a full moon night. Therefore, we have the Yamuna on all sides, and there are cool, gentle, fragrant breezes flowing. These are all transcendental opulences that stimulate loving exchanges. And since I am also here as the foremost ecstatic opulence, the object of love, let us now test how much expertise you can show in relishing rasas. In text 22, he means to say, thus for a long time, for the entire duration of this night, don't leave, but rather stay here and enjoy with me. Don't go serve your husbands and gentlewomen, your mother-in-laws and so forth. It will not be fitting for you to waste such beauty and youth, which are gifts of the Creator, nor should you milk the cows or give milk to the calves and babies. What do you, who are so full of ecstatic attraction for me, have to do with these affairs? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also explained that the gopis could not really be sure exactly what Krishna was doing, whether he was merely joking, inviting them to stay, or instructing them to return home. Thus, as Sri Krishna spoke about the beauty of the forest, the gopis felt embarrassed and bewildered and looked upwards at the trees. And as he spoke about the Yamuna, they looked all around at the river. The absolute purity and simplicity, along with their absolute devotion to Lord Krishna in the conjugal mood, created the most beautiful pastimes ever exhibited in this universe. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadhati Swapradantikam Mandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Shusha Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubyasya Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Read the translation again. Not finding you at home, your mothers, fathers, sons, brothers, and husbands are certainly searching for you. Don't cause anxiety for your family members. Now you have seen this Vrindavan forest, full of flowers and resplendent with the light of the full moon. You have seen the beauty of the trees, with their leaves trembling in the gentle breeze coming from the Yamuna. So now, go back to Coward Village. Don't delay, O chaste ladies. Serve your husbands and give milk to your crying babies and calves. Krishna, as we know, he is complete in himself. He is the absolute personality of Godhead, complete in himself. He has everything. So, in this verse, he actually displays this transcendental nature of completeness. He is at one state he is the most renounced personality, but at the same time, as an absolute personality of Godhead, he also has the most attachment, you can call it. And surely the gopis are very attached to Krishna. That's not surprising at all. We understand in the later portion of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, later chapters, after Krishna displayed the extraordinary powers that defeated the powers of great, great demigods such as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, we know the wonderful pastime of Bhrigu Muni going to different planetary systems, particularly Brahma, and then Lord Shiva, and he concluded that Vishnu was the greatest personality of Godhead. And then later on, in the next chapter, Shukadeva Goswami explains a beautiful pastime. This pastime is about the sons of the Brahmanas got stolen by Lord Vishnu. no, sorry. So there was one Brahmana in the near city of Dwarka, and he had children. And each time a child was born, the child would disappear from nowhere. It just went away like that. And it happened again and again. So the Brahmana took shelter of different personalities, like very, very powerful personalities, such as Krishna's son, Pradyumna, and then Satyaki, and so forth, and even Balaram, and even Krishna, but all failed. The Brahmana's child was gone away. And the Brahmana got so upset, he started criticizing the Yadu dynasty, and particularly Krishna Balaram, because they were not able to protect his children. So Arjuna, when he heard this, he couldn't tolerate hearing blasphemy against Krishna and Balaram and the other residents of Dwarka. As a Kshatriya, he said, "Brahmana, I will give you full protection. You rely on my words. I will give you full protection." And Brahmana couldn't believe Arjuna. The Brahmana said to Arjuna, "If Krishna and Balaram can protect the children, what can you as a weak Kshatriya do?" But Arjuna said, no, I have my Gandiva bow, which is so powerful, and I have wonderful astras, weapons that was given by Lord Shiva, Pashupata Astra and so forth, and I'm surely going to protect your children." And we see Brahmana said, "Okay, you please come." And he showed his wife to Arjuna, and he showed his residential quarters. And Brahmana said, "I'll call you when the child is about to be born." And that time the Brahmana's wife was about to deliver a child. So the Brahmana ran out to Arjuna, "Oh great hero, please protect the child. Please protect the child." So Arjuna, with his expertise, he was able to make a house out of arrows, which there was no scope of escape from that particular that house he made. So the child was born, and the child started crying, and Arjuna thought, "Oh, this was successful," and the Brahmana was very happy, and he thanked Arjuna. But when as he went in, he saw the child disappear, and this really, Brahmana got really puzzled, and he got really upset with Arjuna, and he said, "You are a weak Kshatriya. You are not able to protect my child." And Arjuna, before that, he said, he in order to instill the faith of the Brahmana, he said, "If I will surely protect the child. If I don't, I will commit suicide. I will fall into the fire." And so Arjuna saw that he wasn't able to keep the promise. And what did Arjuna do? He made a fire and he was about to jump into the fire. But suddenly Krishna came into the scene, and he stopped Arjuna from doing this. He said to Arjuna, "Please don't do this." Before that, actually, I forgot to tell, Arjuna went all over the universe to look for the child, the children of the Brahmanas, but he wasn't able to find. He went to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj didn't know where the children were. He went to Lord Shiva and Brahma, no one knew. So that's when he was ready to jump into the fire. But Krishna stopped him. And Krishna said, "You please come onto the chariot. I'll take you to somewhere where the children will be found." So Krishna, he took Arjuna in his own chariot he penetrated the universe, that is different layers of elements, that is earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. He penetrated through it, and he went to the Brahma Jyoti, or we call it the impersonal effulgence of the personality of Godhead. And he went through that. He went to the spiritual sky, or Vaikuntha Loka. In there, not in the Vaikuntha Loka, is it Vaikuntha Loka? He saw Mahavishnu. He went to Viraj River, and he met Lord Mahavishnu there. And upon Krishna arriving with Arjuna, over in the palace of Mahavishnu, which was such wonderful palace. It had jewelry pillars and such wonderful decoration all over, and Lord Vishnu was lying on the Anantashesh, and surrounded by Lord Mahavishnu was all the children. And so when Krishna and Arjuna appeared there, then Krishna and Arjuna paid their respects. The reason why Krishna paid obeisances is explained that he wanted to teach Arjuna that when you meet an elderly person, you should offer respect. If you meet a respectable person, you should offer full respect. And Mahavishnu, upon seeing Krishna, he said, "Oh, I've been waiting for you. Where have you been?" And he said, "Please come in." And he invited Krishna and Arjuna. After Mahavishnu gave the children back to Krishna and Arjuna, and after that, Arjuna actually had a doubt. He was wondering, if Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why is it that he paid obeisances to Lord Vishnu? And why is it Mahavishnu said, "I've been waiting for you for a long time"? The acharyas explained that the reason Mahavishnu said, "I've been waiting for you a long time," shows how attractive Krishna is. Krishna is full of attractiveness. It explains that the children were actually in the town near Dwarka. Actually, it was in Dwarka. The children were in Dwarka, and what happened? Mahavishnu went 9 times to Dwarka to take the children. He went 9 times to Dwarka, but he wasn't able to see Krishna in Dwarka. That's why he arranged the pastime such a way so that he was able to meet Krishna directly. This shows how attractive Krishna is, that even Lord Vishnu, he aspires to meet him. He aspires to see him, and he arranges the pastime such a way that he was able to see Krishna of Dwarka. So how much more would Krishna in Vrindavan be attractive? He is so attractive. The name itself indicates that Krishna is all attractive to the reservoir of all pleasure. And he's showing this. He's demonstrating. He's attractive in all features. He's the most renounced. By these particular verses, these wonderful verses, he shows his renunciation in the most renounced person. Krishna, he's a young boy, he's youthful, and what is he saying to the gopis? "You're in the banks of the Yamuna River, and you are in the best atmosphere where we can have the wonderful relationship." But what Krishna says, "Please, you should go and attend your mother, you should go attend your father and your husband, and if you're unmarried, well, you should go and take care of the calves, and if you're Municharis, then you should go take care of your children." So he's demonstrating the greatest renunciation. He's Bhagavan. Bhagavan means, one of the characteristics of Bhagavan is that he fully demonstrates his renunciation. And he shows. But at the same time, to make him complete, he also shows the greatest attachment. Because God shows all features. All features. Renunciation and attachment. This is Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. Inconceivably one, but at the same time different. So he's able to demonstrate the greatest renunciation, at the same time he's able to demonstrate the greatest attachment. So, upon explaining this verse, he says, "Now you have seen this Vrindavan forest, full of flowers and resplendent with the light of the full moon. You have seen the beauty of these trees, with their leaves trembling in the gentle breeze coming from the Yamuna. So now, go back to the coward village." Before that, he actually explains this. He explains the beauty of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Krishna explains the beauty of Sri Vrindavan Dham, and the gopis are puzzled now. They're wondering, what is Krishna trying to do? At one stage, he's telling us to go and attend our family members. And another stage, Krishna is describing such wonderful atmosphere of Vrindavan that he's encouraging us to stay back. So Krishna is he's playing tricks over here. This is the beauty of Krishna in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Krishna is expert. He's able to talk. He's able to talk such a way that it brings more ecstatic attraction for the gopis to Krishna. After all, Krishna, he called the gopis. So why should Krishna leave the gopis? Krishna had no intention for them to go to their home. Krishna said before, when the gopis were performing the Katyayani Vrata, they were following the 1 month program where they were worshipping the goddess Katyayani so that they can have Krishna as their husband. And Krishna, at the end of Katyayani Vrat, he came and then did such a wonderful pastime where he stole the garments of the gopis. And in that conversation, Krishna said to the gopis, that next autumn season, when I'll meet you, I'll perform the rasa dance. So that is the actual intention why Krishna blew his flute. His actual intention is that he could demonstrate his most ecstatic features of Godhead in relationship with the gopis. So now Krishna is trying to fulfill that promise which he has given to the devotee. Krishna, when he makes a promise for a devotee, he will never break. We see in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. He said to Arjuna, declare boldly that my devotees will never perish. And Krishna actually demonstrated this in Mahabharata himself. After having a furious fight with the Pandavas and the Kauravas, and the Kauravas were frustrated, Duryodhana was frustrated, so he started saying to Bhishma Dev, "Oh Bhishma, you're such a great warrior, but you're not able to kill the Pandavas. What is this?" And he started defaming Bhishma Dev. And for a Kshatriya, this honor is worse than death. So Bhishma said, "Okay, I'll give you these 5 weapons, 5 arrows." And he said, I will kill the Pandavas with these 5 arrows, the special arrows he had. And Duryodhana, he was clever. Mm-hmm. Duryodhana thought, okay, I might as well take the arrows from Bhishma so I can keep it, I can protect it very nicely. So he said to Bhishma, you please give me the arrows, I'll protect it for you. And Bhishma said, okay, you can keep the arrows as you wish and I'll collect it from you tomorrow. And Krishna, in order to keep his promise as mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, that my devotees will never perish, he understood what was going on. He asked Arjuna to go and approach Duryodhana and beg for charity and take the 5 arrows. So Arjuna did as Krishna said. Arjuna went over and met Duryodhana. And generally in Vedic custom, although one may be an enemy, but after the war in a camp, everyone deals friendly. And Duryodhana dealt Arjuna as a friend, as a cousin. And Duryodhana welcomed Arjuna very nicely. And Duryodhana asked, "Oh Arjuna, it's very nice to see you. How can I help you?" Arjuna said, I come here to beg charity from you. And Duryodhana said, "Oh, what do you want? You want the whole palace? I'm ready to give it to you. You can take whatever you want." Arjuna said, no, I don't want the palace. I just want the 5 arrows which Bhishma Dev gave you." So Duryodhana said, okay, you take the 5 arrows. So we see Kaunteya Pratichanihi, that Krishna says that my devotees will never perish. And he made that promise. And then later on, when Bhishma found out that Krishna played a trick here, he played a trick by taking the 5 arrows, he got really upset. He got really angry. So he said, now I will have to make sure that Krishna will have to break his promise or else his very dear friend Arjuna will be killed. So he had such a fierce war at that time. He was fighting with full vigor, and he was at the verge of, he was about to kill Arjuna. And Krishna, in order to fulfill his promise in Bhagavad Gita that my devotees will never perish, he picked up a wheel and started charging at Bhishma. One of it is to give full protection to Arjuna. He said my devotees will never perish. He wanted to protect Arjuna. On the other hand, he broke his own promise. What is it? He said before in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he said that I will never pick up a weapon. He said that. But he picked up the weapon in order to fulfill Bhishmadev's desire. That Bhishmadev, who is a devotee, he said, I will either kill Arjuna or I'll make sure that I break Krishna's promise. And Krishna was very happy to fulfilling Bhishmadev's desire. That's why he picked up the wheel. So we see here, when Krishna gives a promise to his devotees, he surely fulfills it without delay, without fail. And here, although Krishna speaks an equivocal word, you know, in one sense, one hears it, one may think he's meaning something else, and if you look at it in a different angle, he actually means totally opposite. Although Krishna speaks equivocal words, but his desire is to please the gopis. That is the ultimate desires of the gopis, of Krishna. And what is the gopis? What is their desire? Their desire is to please Krishna. After all, who is ultimately the father, who is the husband, who is the wife, who is the Janaka Janani Daita Tanai. Janaka, he is the father, he is the mother. Daita, he is the lover. Tanai, he is the child. He is everything for a devotee. So when Krishna says to the gopis, you should please attend your husbands and so forth, but really, who is the husband? Who is the gopis' husband? That is Krishna. If you look at it, it's explained when Krishna stole the calves and the cows, and when Lord Brahma stole the calves and the cows and the coward boys, during that 1 year, every gopis married Krishna. So ultimately, who is Krishna's husband? Who is the gopis' husband? That is Krishna. And what is the gopis trying to do? They're trying to be very chaste with Krishna. They're trying to demonstrate the greatest chastity, and they do demonstrate the greatest chastity by only having their only object, that is Krishna, and no one else. So this verse are very, very high topics, but if one hears this from a very self-realized soul, then one is sure to overcome the greatest enemy, which is lust of this material world. Shukadeva Goswami, he speaks this Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, and he speaks this Bhagavatam very expertly, so expertly that all the audience could actually appreciate Krishna's wonderful pastimes with the gopis, and that they lost the desire for sense gratification or the lusty desires. This is personally exemplified by Krishna himself in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Krishna, his most ecstatic topics were on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But what is he? Who is he? What is he known as? He is known as the crest jewel of all sannyasis. He is the crest jewel of all sannyasis. Or in other words, he is the most renowned. And he is relishing the topic that is discussed with Krishna and the gopis. That some nights he is unable to sleep. He just wants Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar, his very intimate devotees, talking about these topics. And that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relishes. So, in order for us to understand the depth of the conjugal pastime of Sri Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani and with the gopis in Sri Vrindavan Dham, then one must take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One should follow in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then are we able to understand the intimate topics of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Yadi gorna haito, tabe ki hoito. If it wasn't for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then what would be happen? Radha mahima prema rasa sima. That we couldn't actually understand the highest ecstatic symptoms that Srimati Radharani exhibited to Krishna. We wouldn't be able to understand. And surely before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world, no one understood who Krishna was, no one understood who Srimati Radharani was. They actually mistook this wonderful pastime. No one could. Only after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy, Mahavadanyaya, then could anyone understand the most intimate pastime of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. So therefore, we are known as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, one who follows in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Upon pleasing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then everything will naturally reveal as time comes by in our devotional service. We just need to be patient, patiently serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives. Then Krishna, he gives dadami buddhi yogam cha. He gives you the intelligence by which you can understand these wonderful pastimes mentioned here. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Please be free to ask. Suruji? Pardon?
Krishna doesn't break the promise to the devotee.
Yes.
So, like, we understand that when Krishna was in Vrinda and when he left for Mathura, Dwaraka,
yes,
he came back to Vrinda and
The Acharyas explained, as Bhanu Maharaj explained, that Acharyas explained when Sri Krishna went to Mathura, he came back actually the next day. One of his form was the personal, he had a personal relationship. Another form was, he had two forms when he came to Vrindavan. Another one was Vipralamba, or in separation. Shukadev Goswami talks about the Vipralamba aspect of it. But then, as Bhanu Maharaj says that, but the personal aspect is also there. So Krishna fulfills both purposes, Vipralamba and also meeting. That's how Bhanu Maharaj explains, which is explained by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And that's about it, I guess. Keshav Prabhu, you would like to add in something? Yeah? Any about his statement or what he says? Any other? His expansion of the expansion of the expansion of Balaram.
But are they, is Mahavishnu under the spell of Yoga Maya?
No, he's not under the spell of Yoga Maya.
But he must know that, you know, the Lord is the Lord in everything.
But you see, Krishna is so attractive that he bewilders not only Mahavishnu, he also bewilders his own brother Balaram. During the Brahma Vimohana Leela, Lord Balaram could not understand all the coward boys present before him were actually Krishna. Because Krishna, he is so attractive that Balaram also was unaware of Krishna's opulence. So what to speak of his expansion, Mahavishnu. This actually proves that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Absolute Personality. Thanks. Yes, Prabhuji.
Would you like to tell something about
Baladev? I do not know much. But Baladev Vidyabhushan, as far as I know, very little, is the disciple of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada, he wrote comments, and Baladev Vidyabhushan is famous. He's well known for his commentary, known as Govinda Bhashya, because he was specially favored by Sri Sri Radha Govinda, and he wrote commentaries on Govinda Bhashya in order to prove the other sampradayas the authenticity of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada, he himself took Baladev Vidyabhushan's commentary and wrote Bhagavad Gita based on Baladev Vidyabhushan's commentary. So that's very little I know about Baladev Vidyabhushan. So would you like to add it? About Baladev Vidyabhushan? Anyone else?
He wrote the commentary that goes into Bhashya that was directly dictated by Rupa Goswami's deity Govinda.
Radha Govinda.
Yes. Govinda went to Jaipur. And then the king of Jaipur, his pundits, they went to Gaudiya Vaishnavas, I think the Sri Vaishnavas or some other.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So I guess your question is answered. Yes, Mataji.
Thank you for
Hare Krishna. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.